This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
You know, if the Avs aren't going to do it, we're going to do it for Kyle Fredrickson now. It's going to be the theme for Kyle Fredrickson. Colorado Avalanche beat writer for the Denver Gazette. We got the draft coming up tonight. Kyle, my man, the Avs, dude, they're making moves. They're making moves left and right.
Yeah, you know, I thought I'd have a little bit of break in the offseason, but all of a sudden it's headline after headline. But no, it's great news for the Avalanche. They're rebuilding this roster. You know, in a way that I think is a little surprising in terms of the names so far, but certainly on paper, it seems like, once again, Chris McFarland really going in with an exacting plan for what he's trying to do this offseason.
So what do you think is next? Obviously, they still have the two first-round picks, right? And then they've acquired a couple of different players here. We know with the Ross Colton situation came out down earlier this morning from Tampa Bay. And then, obviously, earlier in the week, Ryan Johansson. We'll see how that one works out. But they still have, 27 and 31? Is that right, Kyle?
Yep, that's right. So right there at the tail end. And a lot could happen. You know, this is a team that their farm system is lacking prospects. So maybe the Avalanche hold on to those picks, and they like a couple players, you know, who are expected to go in that late first range. But, you know, for my money, I could see them maybe dealing one of those picks in another trade or a deal that fills the space left with Gabe Landeskog. They're quite a bit, back quite a bit of money there to deal with, I think, $7 million from Landeskog's contract that they can work with. Now, whether or not they have to deal a player or a pick to get the player they want in addition to that is yet to be seen, but there's a few different scenarios that could play out for sure.
Kyle Fredrickson joining us from the Denver Gazette. I've read, and again, you know me, I'm not necessarily the in-the-know NHL guy as much as I am, or should be, not nearly as close as you, Kyle. But a lot of the reports that I was reading and things the last couple of days, last couple of weeks, are, you know, a lot of these guys that we think could be really good prospects are kind of landing in that 25, 30 spot, or 20 to 22 spot as far as the top 20, 22 spot. So as far as like guys that might make an immediate impact on a team, if that's the case. So maybe the Avs really work hard to try to get underneath that, because maybe they're right on the outside with some of those more obvious prospects.
Yeah, it's a good point. And with two first-round picks, maybe they move their way up the board to get a guy who could make more of an immediate impact. I think when looking at some of these mock drafts and players that are in that range, a lot of those guys have elite talent, but, you know, they're inconsistent, or there's character issues, or you know, so there's something on their record that makes them maybe a bit of a flyer. And, you know, and there is a bit of a chance there. And, you know, this isn't an Avalanche team that necessarily is looking for a bunch of newcomers to compete right away and be a huge part of this team. You know, even with some of the defections, Alex Newhook being gone, JT Compher expected to leave in free agency, Eric Johnson also on that list of guys who are expected to leave. You know, the cupboard's not bare, so they could use a couple guys to keep with the Eagles and develop, you know, joining, Oscar Olsson. You know, he's maybe the most touted prospect who was playing in Loveland last season, and let those guys become NHL players and not rush this whole system of becoming an NHLer. So we'll see what happens. It's been a while since the Avalanche have made a real big splash with a first round pick. I mean, you got to go back to Cale Makar a few years ago, but certainly could be a lot of drama. If anything, we know that Chris McFarland isn't afraid to make a move. If he feels like it's going to benefit his team. You know, we've seen that with essentially the three different deals that he's made in now 3 days.
Yeah, unlike the NFL, where you see a lot of the moving and shaking actually go down during the draft, you got Chris McFarland just going at it well before. I mean, he's trying to get his ducks in a row, so maybe he can make a move tonight. Or in your mind, as far as some of those names on the list, is there anybody sticks out that you think, okay, these are a couple of guys that they would be looking at, whether they can move up or not?
Yeah, it's definitely a fair question. I put in a little bit of work I think last week, looking at some of the different players who could end up being in that late, you know, first round category. And it was interesting to see what the mock draft had. I mean, NHL.com, they had a Charlie Strammel. He's a center out of Wisconsin. You know, he's just a college sophomore, but he's already 6'3 and 212, so huge upside. A guy who, you know, a lot of scouts think is going to be a big-time player. But there's also a lot of foreign guys, and you know, especially one thing I'm interested in is to see, you know, what happens with Russian players in this draft, just with the political climate, you know, everything that's gone on over there. You know, the Russian players haven't been able to celebrate with the Stanley Cup since the conflict in Ukraine started. But there are some guys who, you know, maybe could fall into the late round because of that, guys who would be, you know, top 15, top 20 prospects. And one of them is Daniil Butt, and he's from, I'll butcher this name, but Loko Yaroslav, the Russian Major Hockey League.
I think you did great.
Yeah, and, you know, thanks. but, yeah, he's one of those guys who I saw some mock drafts where he's a top 10 pick. And others have him as a second-round selection. So, you know, in terms of those Flyers, guys with huge upsides, but there's just one or two question marks, to me, that would be the best-case scenario, just because it shows the Avs are serious about, you know, finding real talent in that stage. You know, you won't, if you're picking in the first round, you know, you're not trying to find a middle six guy. You'll take it, but you might as well, you know, shoot big and really try to develop someone. And if I had to guess, if the Avs don't trade out of that spot or trade those picks entirely, that's what they'll end up doing.
We're talking to Kyle Fredrickson of the Denver Gazette. Tell us about Ryan Johansson, his injury, how he's doing. He says he's close to 100%. How big of an impact do you think he'll make on this team next year? And should fans be concerned about his injury a little bit more?
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, the one knock or one of the knocks on maybe his resume coming here into the Avalanche, with expectations of maybe being that second line center. I think game one, just with what we know and his backstory, it makes sense that he would fill that role. We'll see how he plays though as well. You know, he's 30 years old. The surgery, it's never good news, but this was for, I think, a skate blade that cut his leg, not like a structural issue or a knee issue. You know, something that maybe would, you know, hurt his career on the whole. He should be able to recover 100% and, you know, join a team where, yes, the expectations are high, but he's, you know, with a group that's won a cup and there's culture and expectations. And, you know, I think anytime you get a veteran player like Johansson, he's been in the league for 12 years. He gets a fresh start with a team that's ready to win another title. You know, he said it on the Zoom call. It's an incredible opportunity for him. So, even if he doesn't shake out as the second-line center, I still think he plays a pretty pivotal role. And at the end of the day, the Avalanche gave up next to nothing to acquire him. You know, Alex Galchenyuk, a defenseman, who's a veteran in this league, a former first overall pick, he was a reclamation project for this team. He was with the Avalanche last season, but mostly played with the Eagles. And the Avs did a good enough job rebuilding his career that another team was willing to part with a seasoned vet to take a look at him. So to me, it's a win-win situation. Even if he's not that guy, I think he's still another player up the middle who's going to strengthen this group, especially when, you know, JT Compher isn't expected to be back. You know, we'll see what happens, you know, on July 1st, you know, in a few days here when free agency opens. But they're going to have to figure out who's going to fill those spots up the middle, even beyond figuring out who's going to be the second-line center. So between him and the move that we saw today with Ross Colton, you know, the Avs have shown us that, hey, this is an area of weakness on our team, and we're going to be aggressive to try to fix it.
Kyle, how are you feeling about the moves that they've made? I mean, do you look at the move so far and say that's the markings of a team that's going to get right back to where they were a little over a year ago? Or is this, you know, right now it's still kind of they're probably a playoff team, but still waiting to see if maybe one or two puzzle pieces pops in. What's your thoughts there?
Yeah, I mentioned it earlier, but filling out that spot left vacant with Landeskog in the top six, I would hope that this team gets a bigger name, someone that gets, you know, people excited even buying jerseys. And we'll see what happens over the next few days. I will say, you know, on a human level, I'll miss Alex Newhook. He was great to talk to. you know, in the locker room. I think I told someone at one point of all the players who I just, you know, want to go get a beer with and just talk to, he was my number one pick just because, you know, he never put on a facade or airs about, you know, what his job was or what the role of the media was. Just real easy to talk to. But at the end of the day, you know, he's a first-round pick who didn't fulfill high expectations last year. He was supposed to be that second-line center, you know, basically from training camp. Bednar said it was his job to lose, and he could never really keep it. So, you know, he's another first-round pick, a guy who I think a lot of teams still think very highly of. So to me, it makes sense that you deal him now and get as much return as you can. You know, and the fact that they turned a second-round pick from that deal into Ross Colton, a player who's very solid and arguably better than Newhook, just based on the numbers and the physicality, you know, it kind of extends this reputation of, you know, if you're going to do a deal with the Avalanche, you know, buyer beware, because at this point it feels like McFarland is looking for teams that are trying to dump salary and asking, hey, you know, what will you take for this guy? And right now he's 2 for 2. And, you know, adding what I would consider upgrades to this roster, you know, versus what the Avalanche gave up. And that's really the sticking point for me. Yeah, maybe these guys aren't, you know, head turners and have the fan base all excited. But considering what the Avalanche gave up to acquire them, it's just really good negotiation, in my opinion, by the GM.
Yeah, it certainly seems like he's taking an aggressive approach here, like you said, but also a point where he's like, hey, we're not getting rid of guys for nothing here. We're going to seek those teams out that are maybe looking to remove some of that salary, dump a few guys there that have a lot of talent but just can't quite afford them. So we'll see how that one plays out. Kyle, last one for you. You know, just to check in on the Valerie situation. Valerie Nichushkin, sure. Of course, that's been such a weird story, a bizarre story. Where are we at now? I know you had mentioned earlier in the week, I think, that we might be able to expect him once we get close to camp and everything, but still, just so many questions left unanswered.
Yeah, it's been a weird saga, and just, you know, a week or so ago, I did check in with the team and say, hey, you know, do you guys expect him to be ready for training camp? And, you know, for the first time in a long time, I actually got a concrete yes that, you know, the team does believe that Val's going to be back. And right now, you know, there's no criminal investigation. There's no NHL investigation. Gary Bettman, I think Bill Daly, the assistant deputy GM of the NHL, had mentioned that you know, the Avs handled this well. They have no issue with what happened. So, you know, from a macro perspective, yeah, everything's fine, and Val's with the team, and there's really nothing to worry about. But think about, you know, how does Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar and all those guys really feel about one of their most important players leaving at the most important time of the year last year? So, you know, Val has a lot of explaining to do, I think, to coaches and teammates. I don't know, as a media member, if we're ever going to have that courtesy. It's just, you know, Val's personality, sort of how the Avalanche PR works, and, you know, it seems as though they're more interested in protecting their image than, you know, providing the truth to reporters on this subject, which, you know, it's, and maybe that's me asking for too many details, and, you know, if his personal reasons for being gone are none of my business, then that's fine. But the Avs kind of created this mess, right? I mean, it's the lack of transparency, not even acknowledging that a police report exists involving one of their players. It just kind of creates this environment where we're left still with more questions than answers on the whole deal. But, you know, at the very least, it's good to know that, you know, Val's well-being is not at question right now. You know, he's popped up in some social media posts by his wife, and appears that, you know, he's just doing fine, not in the United States as currently as I know right now. But, you know, for the Avalanche, it just feels like this is obviously a big storyline that affected last season. But they expect Val to be the sort of player that signed that big long-term contract, because, I mean, there's no way around it. He needs to be a pillar of this franchise based on the salary that he commands and sort of the role he played when this team was at its peak. So, you know, we'll try to ask him about what happened, but, you know, I wouldn't hold your breath on expecting Val to provide much of an answer.
Yeah, still continues to be such a bizarre story. You know, you missed the playoffs. You missed the second half of that first round. I mean, that's a big deal. So, I mean, you're absolutely within your right, Kyle, to keep digging on those questions, keep digging and asking, because when you have a player that just leaves like that for personal reasons, although there's so many little interesting things surrounding those personal reasons. And then you do it in the playoffs. Yeah, there's questions. And I think the right thing to do is to try to get those answered.
Yeah, and they need him, right? I mean, when Val's at his best, he's one of the best power forwards in the league and changes the complexion of this team. I don't think they can win another Stanley Cup, especially without Gabe Landeskog, you know, if he's not at his complete best, because he's such a force on the ice, but he's got to be on the ice for it to happen. So, you know, we'll see what Jared Bednar's mood is about it as well. I mean, he kept such a straight face through a lot of difficult questions. I think unfairly to a certain degree, you know, with the Avalanche making him the face of this situation when it could have been, you know, a statement from the team or from the GM or something else. But anyway, just to get Jared's perspective when training camp starts, I think will be very telling on just sort of how the team feels about Val and if there was actually any discipline from this situation, because, you know, their official word during the playoffs was no. But to me, that feels pretty disingenuous, because, I mean, could any player be involved in a police report and face no punishment? I mean, that doesn't add up.
It certainly continues to be an odd story for sure. Kyle, my man, appreciate you. Looking forward to see what the Avs do tonight, whether they use the picks or move around or what happens. But it seems like the Avs are certainly making some moves, not necessarily content to stay idle. So we shall see. Appreciate you and appreciate your coverage as always. And we'll look forward to your thoughts on after tonight in the Gazette.
Absolutely. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Kyle Fredrickson of the Denver Gazette. That's some interesting things surrounding the Avs right now. Definitely making moves. It's not a boring offseason at all. They flip a second-round pick for Ross Colton in a trade with the Lightning. The JT Compher's likely to leave. Unlikely to re-sign with the Avalanche. They get a second-line center with Ryan Johansson. We'll see what the injury looks like for him. And they'll try to see what they can do with those two first-round picks, too. 39 minutes after the hour on, Joe. Let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.